Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a blessing to be here. So first of all, as Pastor James has mentioned, I'm going to bring an update of what I'm doing in Malawi. This is going to be like a letter that is written to Grace Church. So dear Grace Church, I bring you the fruit of your labors in Malawi. First of all, I introduce my family. My wife is Maria, and we have three kids, Fatani, Rachel, and Lessa. Short history, 5 years ago, I went back to Malawi from California, and I had two or three major goals when I went back to Malawi: to support the work of Joy to the World Ministries, which was collapsing, strengthening the church planting work, which was still very young, developing church leadership at all levels, pastors, elders, and deacons in our church. When I went back, I worked briefly with students who are in high school. Then in 2019, that's when Mponela Reformed Church was started. I also worked briefly with the Stephanos Foundation, which is helping children in Malawi. Currently, I'm working on a Jars of Clay ministry, and the vision is to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ intentionally to the communities in Malawi in contextually relevant and meaningful ways. The name Jars of Clay comes from 2 Corinthians 4 verse 7, which says we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. My vision is also to focus on outreach, discipleship, and church planting work. On church planting work, my next major focus is in the coming years is to set up a theological training program at Mponela, where I am, which will serve as a primary training ground for church leaders, pastors, elders, and deacons. I also continue a program on a radio every week for 1 hour, which is bringing the basics of the Christian faith to a wider audience. I also do book translation work as one way of making sound Reformed theological books accessible to the people in Malawi. Currently, we are working on a translation of Cornelius Van Damme's book on eldership. And there you have a picture of me in the studio recording a program. And there's also a picture of women in our church who were doing a conference. And there's also a picture of men in our church who also were doing a Bible study program. Every year, we also do Reformation conferences, which brings a lot of people from different churches together to focus on a major subject from the Bible. Some of the praise items that I want to share with you. First of all, I'm so thankful for your support that we can have a church building at Mponela. It started from zero, and you have been very faithful in supporting us. So those are some of the pictures there, from that to the other. And then the church at Lintembwe as well did not have a roof, as you can see, but now it has a roof, as the other picture shows. We also have a church from Sampa, which was supported by other friends. It collapsed during a rain season, and now we have another church building there. And there's also a church in Chisi, and some farming projects that are happening in our church by the members of the church as one way of supporting ourselves. And recently, the Associate Reformed Presbyterian Church has chosen new people to lead the church in the next few years. And I'm so excited because I've seen all these men come and join us. We started with, we're only four at the beginning, but now look what the Lord has done. How can you partner with us? Pray for the work. Financially support monthly or one time. Support our major construction projects. This may be difficult for you to understand, but we work in areas where the income of the people cannot sustain the work that we're doing. But of course, we also know the importance of teaching the people to be able to assist the work. Support income generating activities to minimize our dependency. So farming is our one of the major income generating activities in Malawi. Take a trip and appreciate what the Lord is doing there. I thank the Lord that we had John Laurie visit. It was a huge encouragement for me for him to be there and to witness what the Lord is doing. For all this, I say thank you, and to God be the glory. Amen. Let me pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the blessing of life. Thank you so much for the blessing of this church. Thank you so much for the leadership of this church, for Pastor James, Pastor Clark, and the other elders in this church. I thank you because they have been such a huge blessing in my life and the life of my work in Malawi. May you bless them abundantly. Thank you for everyone in this church who's been part of this work. They have supported us so faithfully and generously. Lord, I pray that all this will not go in vain, but will bring about your glory and the good of your people. Thank you, O Lord, for this opportunity I have now to bring your word to your people. May you speak to us, to our hearts. May you convict us and humble us by your word. And may you encourage us to walk in your ways all the time. Be gracious to me and be gracious to all of us. For Jesus' sake, we pray. Amen. Please turn with me to the book of Galatians, chapter 6, and I'm going to read verses 1 to 10. I'll start reading from verse 1. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load. Let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, For in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. May the word bless the leading of his word. Amen. So it's a privilege for me to share the word of God. This has been my joy as a pastor to share the word of God. And the title of my sermon is Brotherly Christian Living. And the theme is brotherly Christian living is manifested when Christians passionately pursue restoration, burden bearing, and sharing good things with one another. Spiritual life must show itself in action, especially in charity, meekness, and modesty. And that's what we read from the above chapter 5, verses 25 to 26. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. The apostle here encourages the Galatians to deal gently with the weaker brother, to bear the brother's burden, to be on their guard against conceit, to be generous to their teachers, and to persevere in doing good. In this chapter, the apostle concludes his epistle. He exhorts the church to brotherly affection and bids them to rest in hope, assuring them that in due season they will reap to the Spirit. And as we look at this passage, I'm going to focus on 3 points. The first one is restoration. The second one is going to be bearing. And the third one and last one will be sharing. So restoration, look with me in verse 1. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. If anyone is caught. And Paul here is beginning with the word brothers, which is an affectionate word. And if anyone is caught or surprised before he is aware to resist the sin, we have to help them. These are sins which come suddenly. We ought to take this charitable view of our neighbor's trespass. You who are spiritual, who are controlled by the Holy Spirit, a reference back to Galatians chapter 5, verse 25, as I mentioned, and especially to that part which remained faithful to the teaching of Paul. That's where Paul is writing. And if we compare this to Romans chapter 15, verse 1, we who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. True charity is a test of spirituality. True strength and freedom show themselves in bearing and forbearing. When we look around, the spirit of the world gloats over sin. The Spirit of Christ leads us to restore the sinner. Our first thought should never be of revenge or contempt, or to be an adjustment of our own claims, but rather of how to help our fallen brother to regain his old place in the love of God. Remember, church is not competition. We're not competing who is the best, but we are here to help one another. When we remember our own temptations and failures, we should be more pitiful and tender to the temptations of others. The apostle does not speak here of sin that is premeditated, but of that which we are entrapped and taken unawares. There is somewhat uncommonly affection and gracious in what Paul the apostle is saying here. He's calling upon the spiritual, those who are regenerate, truly, to manifest the grace of the Spirit, who live under the influence of the Holy Spirit in their conduct towards each other. Those who are weak must be helped by those who are spiritual. Paul here intimates that in proportion to the largeness of the grace some of them profess to that of others, here the Lord afforded them an opportunity to exercise. This is the greatest indication that the Spirit of Christ dwells in us. When, like Christ, we show forth tenderness and compassion to the infirmities of fellow believers, the church, the body of Christ, and as surely as the apostle here continues, a consciousness of our own liability to error becomes an unanswerable motive to be tender to others. This is an encouragement to us. Restore those who are in transgression. But look with me, secondly, that we have to bear, verses 2-5. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he's something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work. And so here, the most spiritual men in the church are needed for the work of restoration, as I mentioned, and they must do it with great meekness and humility. It is therefore that we should bear one another's burdens. There are some burdens which each one must bear for himself, such as his own personal existence and accountability to God. But we can help one another in the burdens of overcoming temptation. We should never take pride in how much better we are than others, for God alone is the judge. We are to bear one another's burdens of overcoming temptation, and that way, Paul says, we shall be fulfilling the law of Christ. Remember, Paul is writing to the Galatians, who were the legalists of the day, the Pharisees. They wanted to follow the law as a means of their salvation. And somehow Paul tells us, well, if you want to follow the law, you have to bear one another's burdens. They were comparing each other. I am better than you because I have circumcision. But Paul says, no, you have to bear each other's burdens. There should be mutual forbearance and compassion towards each other, following the example of Christ. We must bear one another's burdens as fellow pilgrims on our journey to the celestial city. That should remind you, Pilgrim's Progress, John Bunyan. Christian tries to overrun faithful, and without paying much attention, he stumbles and fell and could not rise again until faithful came to help him. What a picture. What a picture. Christian is coming. He's trying to overrun faithful. But then he fails. Maybe if it was today, we could have said, look, there you are. Keep going. But faithful goes and picks him up. That's what we have to do as believers. It is very common for a man to look upon himself as wiser and better than other men, and so as to tell them what to do. And that is deceiving ourselves by pretending to have what we don't have. We find ourselves in sad consequences because we are cheating ourselves. This will never receive praise, either with God or with men. Everyone is advised to prove his own work. The better we know our own hearts and ways, the less we shall despise others. And the more we dispose to help them under infirmities and afflictions. No man can pay a ransom for his brother, and sin is a burden to the soul. It is a spiritual burden. And the less a man feels it to be such, the more cause he has to suspect himself. Most people are dead in their sins, and therefore they have no sight or sense of the spiritual burden of sin. Feeling the weight and burden of our sins, we must seek to be eased by the Savior and be warned against every sin. And so here Paul commands to assist one another those spiritual challenges and the burdens that we go through can only be resolved by counsel, by prayer. In Christ, Christ is the almighty burden bearer who has borne our sin by his perfect sacrifice. And when Paul says every man shall bear his own burden, he does not mean that a child of God will bear his own sins. Because Christ has once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, to bring us to God. That is settled. The Lord has laid on Christ the iniquity of us all. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6. Oh, we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Here is what Paul means. Every man has his own personal responsibility, which can only be borne by himself. There is joy and there is a sorrow in which a stranger cannot intermeddle. That's what we read from Proverbs chapter 14, verse 10. The heart knows its own bitterness, and no stranger shares its joy. Jesus' perfect law of love must be obeyed in every circumstance where his people cannot soften each other's sorrows. My question to you, brothers and sisters, are we bearing our brother's burdens or we make it worse? I've heard and personally experienced disheartening situations whereby Christians are intimidating one another. Instead of being an encouragement, we become an intimidation to others. As the body of Christ, we have to encourage one another. We have to bear each other's burdens to show the love of Christ amongst ourselves. John chapter 13, verse 34, Jesus says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another." Look with me, thirdly, sharing. Verse 6 to 10. Let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. And before I go further, allow me to mention a couple of other passages addressing this issue here. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 14. In the same way, the Lord commanded that those who proclaim the gospel should get their living by the gospel. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17 to 18. Let the elders who rule well be considered worth of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, "You shall not muzzle an ox when it treads out the grain, and the laborers deserve his wages." So Paul here instructs the Galatians to support their teachers, their pastors, those who teach the true gospel. And when we look at life, life is a seed time. It is the opportunity of preparing for heavenly harvest. The open furrows invite the seed, and every moment in some form we scatter seeds that we shall inevitably meet again in their fruition. As I mentioned at the beginning, the report that I brought to you this morning is the fruit of your labors. Let us remember especially our obligations to God's own children. As long as we have an opportunity, let us do good to everyone, but especially to those of the household of faith. Men excuse themselves from the work of religion, though they may make a show and profess it. They may impose upon others, yet deceive themselves if they think to impose upon God. God knows the hearts of everyone and all of our actions. He cannot be deceived, and he will not be mocked. Our present time is seed time. In the other world, we shall reap as we sow now. As there are two sorts of sowing, one to the flesh and the other to the spirit, so will be the fruit afterwards. Those who live a carnal, worldly, sensual life must expect no other fruit from such a course than misery and ruin. But those who, under the guidance and the influence of the Holy Spirit, live a life of faith in Christ and abound in the Christian graces, they shall reap of the Spirit life everlasting. It is very easy for us to tire in doing good. Very easy to give up. We should carefully watch and guard against this. The reward is promised to those who persevere in doing good. And Paul here exhorts us to do good. We should take care to do good in our lifetime and make this the business of our lives. And so when the Lord gives us fresh occasions, we have to do good. And the apostle here has drawn the qualities of a spiritual man to distinguish him from one that is wholly carnal. And he uses this illustration, which is very well known: sowing and reaping. It would be very foolish if you sow one kind of grain and expect to reap another. Likewise, the opposite qualities of flesh and spirit can never be expected to arise but as each is sown. The carnal man in the seed time of life, sowing to the flesh, cannot look forward to the harvest with the hope to reap spiritually. God is not mocked. Men may deceive themselves, but not the Lord. There will be an exact product as the man is found carnal or spiritual. Carnal in himself, spiritual in Christ. And so these are fixed, unchangeable principles which Paul the Apostle is bringing us here. But we should remember that he is not speaking about the work of God and the Spirit, because the work of the Spirit will accomplish its purposes. But what Paul is saying here is that it is blessed to remember where our mercies are coming from. And the apostle in Philippians urges diligence. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will for his good pleasure. And if we were to ask, what well-doing is there that a child of God can do and expect a reward? None. Why? Because there is nothing, and there can be absolutely nothing of the creature for which reward can be demanded. When we look in the book of Luke, chapter 17, verse 10, when you have done all that you were commanded, say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done what was our duty. It is therefore good to remain humble, to lay low at the feet of Jesus, under the deep conviction that all the good that is done upon the earth, the Lord himself has done it. Christ is our portion. And we read in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 11 to 12, and we desire each one of you to show the same earnestness, to have the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith, patience, inherit the promises. That should be our main focus. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. And as I finish, the new life in Christ Jesus is not simply one of being good, but of doing good. It manifests itself not by taking a more holy than thou attitude, but by bearing the burdens of others and seizing every opportunity to help the saints and save sinners. Here Paul is challenging the Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, Paul challenges the Corinthians there that Jesus Christ is the great deacon. He became poor that you might become rich. Christ became poor for you, and what are you doing for him? Christ became humble for you, and what are you doing for him? Whoever is not ready for poverty and service cannot be a follower of Jesus. That's what Jesus mentions after his interaction with the rich young man. And what Paul presents here is the gospel in action. That is what Jesus Christ has done for you if you have been given new life. He restored you. He bore your burdens. He shared everything good with you. And he continues doing these things and more for us every day, even today. What are you doing for him? What characterizes your life? John says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, we love because he first loved us. Is this what defines your life? Are you passionate about the restoration of others, or you would rather just see them go deep in their mess? Are you bearing the burdens of others? Or you say, your problem is not mine. Are you sharing good things with others? Or you say, no, oh, this is just for me. May the Lord help us to live a new life because we are the recipients of God's amazing grace in Christ. Let's pray. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the blessing of life. We thank you, Lord, that we have been restored by the work of Christ, who bore our burdens and shared all good things with us. May we do the same to one another even today. For Jesus' sake, we pray. Amen.